Tell me the story of Jesus. What a story we have to tell. I know that I'm supposed to say something funny to get you tracking with me, and I couldn't think of anything funny to say, so I thought maybe I should tell some old age jokes. But then I realized I didn't know the punchlines. So I didn't want to offend some of our senior citizens. So I thought I would just get right into the topic. I was asked to speak on a psalm. That's a change from what we've been doing. So I'm going to speak on Psalm 86. But before I do that, I want to read from another psalm. This is by David, King David. He says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." David is sort of giving us his philosophy of life. You notice that? Truly, He is my rock. He is my mighty rock. Then he says, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. So I want to speak about David going through a bit of a rough time. Even though he believed that God was his rock and that he had a refuge, that didn't keep him from going through some emotionally stressful times. And Psalm 86 is one of those psalms where he expresses his feelings. If you have your Bible with you, I suggest you turn to it, because we're going to look at it in three parts. The first part of Psalm 86, verses 1 to 7, David pours out his heart to the Lord. In the next part, 8 to 13, we find that he has a change of focus in his thinking. And in the final part, 14 to 17, we find out that nothing has really changed. But then we find out that everything has changed. Let me read the psalm, just the first seven verses. "Hear me, Lord, answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you because you answer me." Perhaps we could just have a word of prayer. Father, as we open up your word this morning, we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that you are our rock. For those of us who belong to you, those of us who are your children, you are our rock. And we thank you that as such, we can trust in you. And that when we go through difficult times, you're still the rock. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help me today. And I pray that you will just give us something which would be encouraging and helpful. So I ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, you've just listened into the first part of David's prayer. I wonder what it would be like to listen into your prayer or listen into my prayer. But we have the opportunity this morning of listening into David's prayer. And he humbly acknowledges that he is poor and needy. You know, the human being is made up of an outer person and an inner person. The outer, of course, is the body. And the inner is the heart or the soul or the spirit, words that refer to that part of us that relates us to our God. And it's the inner part where the emotional stress comes. David was feeling poor and needy at this particular point in his life. There were certain circumstances that were making him feel he was poor and needy. Well, what do we do when we feel that way? Well, if our body is suffering, we go to a doctor, Dr. Dan. If our inner part is suffering, where do we go? Well, we can go to Shepherd Dan. We need somebody to shepherd us. But we need the Lord. It's the Lord that helps us when we are going through rough times. In another psalm, David said, I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. An indication that where he brings the poor and neediness together with a wounded heart. Such circumstances may occur in your life or in my life, and we see them occurring in the lives of many people where their heart is wounded, sometimes referred to as a broken or crushed spirit. You know, we live in a broken world. We live in a world where suffering is the norm, where things go wrong so easily. And these circumstances can stress us out, really stress us. They may be long-term, they may be short-term, but they can be just about anything. They can be financial stress, relationship problems, marriage issues, issues with children. They can be sickness, chronic sickness, poor health, cancer. It can be the care we take of a needy parent or the care we must give to a needy child. They can be disappointments of many types, loneliness and isolation, death of a loved one, suffering for our faith. Sometimes it's just the stress of unanswered prayer. Lord, I pray, but you don't answer. It can lead us to start to question our God. These are very real circumstances. Most of us have gone through some of them. Now, turning to David, in his circumstances, he was poor and needy. But he didn't have any psychologists. He didn't have any therapists. He didn't have any counselor. So he had to turn to the Lord. It was a good place to turn. After all, think about this. God created our psychological makeup. So when our emotional stress is getting to us, our psychology is suffering, there's one who knows all about it because he created that in us, individually created your psychological makeup. He knows how to heal it when it's broken or crushed or wounded. Some people, and I've had people say this to me, but I really want to talk to a real person. And I thought, what an insult to our God. He's a real person. He walked on this earth and he wept with people. And he was troubled in spirit when he heard the sorrows of people. He's a real person. And so I say to you that we have a real person to turn to. So how did David do this? He simply opened up his heart to God. He poured out his heart. And I would say to you, if you're going through some rough times, if things are going stressful in your life, there's nothing better you can do than to pour out your heart to God. I've never felt closer to my God than when I get into his presence and I just say, Lord, I'm hurting. And there he is, ready to listen. David asks the Lord in this psalm to guard his life and save him. David knew that a poor and needy person was vulnerable to his enemies. In another psalm, he spoke about it. He said, the wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. That's why he prayed in this prayer, guard my life and save your servant. He knew he was vulnerable. And we too are extremely vulnerable in times of emotional stress. During such times, there's a strong temptation to just give up. We might not openly say that's what we're doing, but in our hearts we might say, Lord, we just are not getting any enjoyment out of following you. And so then we turn to other things. I've seen too many people, when their marriages are going bad, just give up and say, I might as well walk out of the marriage. I've seen too many people, when they're stressed, turn to drugs or alcohol. Or it may be that we just turn to things that appear to be less destructive. We'll just work and work and work to keep ourselves busy so that we don't think about the problems we have. We're vulnerable to these things. We may feel like David did in another psalm. He says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Have you ever been there where you felt like that? Lord, how long? When am I going to hear from you? Does Jesus care? Does he really care? I was just talking to Jerry Libby. Some of you know Jerry. He's been here often. Talking to him yesterday. One of the biggest problems, he said, is to get people to really believe what the Word of God says, to really believe there's a real person, to really believe that we have a rock. And so people make professions of believing. We say we believe, but do we really believe? Let me just give you a little bit of the good news. God sends times of stress into our lives to teach us to draw near to Him. Do you really draw near to God when circumstances are bad? This morning, as you might be feeling down about something, do you really feel like drawing near to God? David wrote at one point, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. The Lord takes thought for me. So this morning, if you're feeling a bit poor and needy, feeling a bit stressed, I want to encourage you to believe that God is thinking about you for that very reason, because you're stressed. Our Lord says that He is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I hope as you feel your need that you'll also sense the closeness of the Lord in your life. God's heart was revealed in the person of Jesus. We read, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus cared. When Jesus saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, He was deeply troubled in spirit, and deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus wept at the circumstances of those who followed Him. Do you sense the weeping of Jesus, the closeness of Him as He enters into your circumstances? He's a wonderful Savior. He's a rock to which we can attach ourselves. Now turning back to the Psalm 87, as we listen to David's prayer, we notice that David actually makes 8 requests in those 7 verses. Hear me, he says, answer me, guard my life, save me, bring me joy, have mercy on me, hear my prayer, listen to my cry. It's a very personal prayer, and it's focused on he wants to be heard. He wants to feel that God would answer him. Perhaps you can relate to that, where you said, God, are you listening to me? Have you heard what I've said? Would you give me an answer? I always remember my little granddaughter was trying to get the attention of her mother. So she took her two little hands, put on the side of each cheek, and held the mother, her mother's face so she could speak into her face. Sometimes I feel like that. Lord, I'm hurting. Are you listening? Thankfully, the Lord tells us, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You have not prayed a single prayer that he didn't hear. As we listen to David's prayer, we hear him ask for mercy. David doesn't come into the presence of Jesus and say, I'm a really good man, although he does admit that he does say he's a servant. He's just putting it into perspective. But he comes realizing that he needs mercy. He comes into his presence, into God's presence with this request, recognizing that he needs mercy. Reminds me of a prayer that Daniel made. Daniel prayed at one point and he said, we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. And so when we come into God's presence, we don't come and say, Lord, we're great people. We've done this, we've done that. Now, please, you owe me this. We come realizing that we need mercy. But David did not avoid calling on the Lord because he was sinful. And I found sometimes in my life, I just say, Lord, maybe you're not listening to me, or maybe you don't want to hear from me because of something I've done. God is merciful. What a God we have. Then David also in this prayer asked for joy, for his heart to be gladdened. Have you ever felt the need to say, Lord, I'm not very joyful? I ought to be more joyful. We sang, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. It couldn't do anything but spur up in our hearts, a sense of joy. But David recognizes that there's a danger that he could go through these circumstances moping and complaining about the circumstances. So he says, Lord, gladden my heart, give me joy. In another psalm, he says, my head will be exalted above the enemies. You can read in there adverse circumstances. My head will be exalted above adverse circumstances who surround me. At his sacred tent, and again, read in his presence, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. It is possible, as we go through adverse circumstances, to have joy in our hearts. And David opens this conversation with the Lord. He speaks very freely to the Lord. Why? How can he do this? Because he knows his God. He knows that God is a merciful God. And we're going to see in just a minute that he tells us some more things about God. Often when I've been counseling people, I've sat in front of them and I've listened to them and I've thought to myself, if only you knew God, you wouldn't be talking the way you are. If only you understood the heart of God, you wouldn't have these feelings. We need to know God. It's very difficult to trust somebody if we do not know him well. I would point out this, that David expresses in this prayer that he trusts in God. He doesn't say, I understand God, or I understand his ways, but he says, I trust in God. Too often people will say, well, why is this coming into my life? Why is God allowing it in my life? The answer is, you need to trust in God. You don't need the explanation. You know, there's so many things in the world that we believe in that we don't understand. I don't understand why my wife loves me, but I believe it. There are so many things that we believe that we don't understand. You don't need to believe. In fact, I tell people sometimes, when you became a Christian, you signed on to not knowing everything. The Bible says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are secret things that belong to God. A well-known British scientist said that if we insist upon knowing everything, It's like a chimpanzee wanting to understand calculus. We don't need to know everything. In this psalm, we see David entering into the heart of God, and this is perhaps the core of what I want to say this morning. In adverse circumstances, I need to get into the heart of God. Now, David didn't have time to list all the attributes of God in his prayer, but he mentions a few. What he knows about God is this: God is trustworthy. You'll notice that in the psalm. God is forgiving. God is good. God abounds in love. God is merciful. I say this, that's just a little bit of our understanding of God. We don't learn it all in one evening or in one day or in one year, but as we get to know God, we learn a little bit more and more. And I would just suggest this, that sometimes it takes some godly people to lead us, to help us understand God, to get to know Him better. I would add this: be very careful that the people you turn to help you are leading you towards the heart of God. Don't let anybody try to help you in adverse circumstances, emotionally stressful circumstances, if they are not leading you into God's heart, if they're not leading you to understand God better. The Bible tells us His divine power has given us everything we need for our knowledge of Him. Everything we need for life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him, our knowledge of Him. Everything we need, we too quickly look for help elsewhere. We can find it in our God. But we need to spend time getting to know God. In the Hebrew language, names tell us everything, or tell us something of the character of the person who has the name. God's character is so awesome that it takes many, many names in Scripture to reveal Him to us. And I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I have read that in this psalm, David uses four different names of God because he was studying and knew his God. Get into the heart of God. Understand our God. Now we come to the second part of the psalm, verse 8 to 13. Among the gods there's none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Did you notice a bit of change in the mood here? David has just experienced the heart of God, and he's appreciated it. But now the mood changes from, Lord, I am poor and needy, to one of praise and adoration. He breaks out in praise to God. Among the gods, there's none like you, Lord, for no deeds can compare with you. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Oh, if we would only turn to our God in our difficult circumstances, we'd be able to praise Him. Then he goes on to, there's a lot in this second part, so I'm not going to try to cover everything today. But he goes on to saying that he wants, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. He wants to be taught. And what do you have to be if you want to be taught? You have to be a learner. You have to be willing to learn. Jesus said, come to me and learn of me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. That's me when I'm stressed out. And I will give you rest. That's what I'm looking for when I'm stressed. Take my yoke upon you He wants to join me in carrying the burden. I'm not going to have to carry it alone at all. And then he says, and learn from me. He wants me to learn how he carried his burden. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. For I am gentle and humble in heart. He wants me to have the attitude of humble dependence. And you will find rest for your souls. This is what we need, rest for our souls. Oh, how many times I have found rest for my soul in the presence of God. And I long for my brothers and sisters to enjoy that rest. I'm growing older, and I see God's people turning to other places to find their rest. And I trust that by his grace, you will turn to him for rest. He ends by saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In his presence, I learn the burden he has asked me to carry is not so heavy if I let him help me carry it. Then he recalls in the psalm the great deeds the Lord has done. I suggest to you as a very practical thing, if you're going through adverse circumstances and you're stressed and you're worried about things, you're disappointed, life hasn't treated you the way you expected it to, I say make a list of the good things God has done. Actually, take a pen and a paper or a computer and list the good things that he has done in your life. Be honest, God has done a lot of good things for you. Yes, there are disappointments, but list the good things. Think about them. Thank the Lord for those good things, as David has done here. And just as another practical suggestion, I found it helpful sometimes when I'm down and stressed to read the biographies of godly Christians. See how they went through adverse circumstances. And now in this section, he doesn't ask for joy anymore. He asks for an undivided heart. A heart content with whatever God allows in his life. That's an undivided heart. God, your will be done. And he asks, he wants God to be glorified. What a change from being poor and feeling, crying out for God to be that he's poor and needy, to now he's praising the Lord. He's willing to learn from him. He wants God to be glorified in his life. We come now to the third and final part of the psalm. This is the part that I've titled, Nothing Changes, Everything Changes. Notice verse 14, arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. He started out feeling poor and needy because he was being attacked by his God, by these enemies. And he still has the enemies. Nothing has changed. But everything has changed. Because having entered into God's heart, he feels differently. We'll see that at the end of the psalm. He still has a serious problem. The psalm is not a fairy tale. It doesn't have a fairy tale ending. The problems don't fade away. David doesn't ride off into the sunset. David is still very human. He still has enemies who want to kill him. He still asks for God's mercy. He still realizes he needs God's help. Still needs God's strength to deal with the enemy. And he still asks for signs of goodness. What has changed? The change here is that he has changed his focus from his circumstances to his sovereign God, to his rock. He summarizes attributes of God that have encouraged him. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious, God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You know, I think this shows us that David read the Old Testament, the parts that he had anyhow, because that's a quotation from Exodus 34. That's where he'd learned some of the things he knew about his God. And then David concludes the psalm. You, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. He started out feeling poor and needy. He started out feeling how he needed God to listen to him and to answer him. And now he gets his answer. The answer doesn't come perhaps in the way he thought. Perhaps he thought God would destroy the enemies. We'd like our circumstances just to disappear. But that's not the way God works with us. He says, comfort. You, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. I want to take you back to that first psalm I read. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. You know, more and more we hear about mental illness, even among our young people and among the youth of our nation. What's wrong? They have no rock. They have nothing that they can find that is steady and that will not, that is unchangeable. And that's what we all need, to know and believe that we have something as believers that is unchangeable, something to which we can attach our lives and upon which we can build our lives, the rock. He's our refuge. God may not remove the circumstances which we ask him to remove, but he gives us comfort through those circumstances. So I can conclude with what Paul said. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Shall we pray? Lord, make us realize what a rock you are. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.